Today was supposed to be opening day for Major League Baseball. Of course, there are no games. The global coronavirus pandemic has halted sports around the world, and that includes the Olympics. This week, the International Olympic Committee postponed summer games to next year. That has never happened before, and the Olympics date back to 1896. Mike Pesca is here now, sports analyst. He hosts the daily podcast, The Gist, at Slate.com. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
So all of the other major sports suspended their seasons a couple weeks ago. Why did it take so long for the IOC to postpone the Olympics? Were they just holding out hope?
I think there are a couple factors. One is the IOC is an intransigent bunch of sportocrats who don't like to be dictated to, but this wasn't any other, and they're powerful and they don't have to be dictated to, but the virus doesn't care. So it became apparent that they couldn't hold the Olympics, and this decision was thrust upon them when Canada and Australia, two countries, said, we're not sending our athletes. And they were a little bit of a canary in a coal mine. Then the IOC said, we can't do it.
What does it mean in particular for the athletes? I imagine there are some athletes who are at a point in their career where another year is not possible, that they won't even be able to compete next year.
Well, there's not. I mean, athletes don't admit that, right? So one of the most decorated U.S. men's track stars, Justin Gatlin, had said he was going to retire after the 2020 Olympics, but now he just told Sports Illustrated, I'm going for 2021. If you look at USA basketball, LeBron James and some of the older players, well, maybe they'll be too old to want to play, but then there are young players coming up. I think that in specific sports, it's not so much the age of the players being too old because of their bodies. It's the rule. If FIFA and the Olympics, that's the international soccer body, had a lot of negotiations to get men's soccer into the Olympics. And the compromise was it wouldn't be the men's national teams. It would be teams of younger players. Well, now some of those players, by pushing it back a year, will have aged out of Olympic eligibility. So they have to rework the rules to figure out who's actually eligible for the Olympics. And then the big thing is training schedules. And you could say this affects everyone the same or inconveniences everyone the same. But so many elite athletes are on a very specific schedule, peaking at the same time. You know, that really frustrates them, and it hasn't been a skill. It's just not a skill so far that, are you the best athlete in the world? Do you know how to train? Do you know how to be laser focused? Okay, now we're going to throw this in there. Can we tear that out from under you and have you do it again next year? That will maybe emphasize a different kind of athlete. And the last thing to say about this is that the uncertainty of the Olympics is psychologically a huge factor in individual sports and team sports, and uncertainty is something that no athlete likes.
Mike, is there any move afoot right now to, Olympics aside, just all sports that have been canceled, is there any move to try to resume some games, maybe in isolation with players who've been tested for coronavirus, being put in arenas without any fans, to get things going so people can at least have something to watch?
Right. So the big three, which is an exhibition basketball league. Well, I mean, they try to make money, too. They do. They're former NBA players and good college players. They play 3-on-3 basketball. They have this idea, well, where they will have an all quarantine league. They will get players who right now don't think they're symptomatic or have the symptoms. They'll be tested. They'll spend days in isolation, 10 to 14 days. Once everyone comes back negative, then those guys can play against each other. I mean, we might be so desperate for sports. Right now, there's horse racing and marble racing on ESPN. You know, not much else, some esports. We might be so desperate that this could be the most popular sport in America, the all-quarantine league.
Well, and what do you think it is doing to the psyche, all the other things aside that we're having to deal with for coronavirus, but just to not have sports to watch?
Yeah, I think sports are a great distraction and a great sense of community and coming together. And to put a rupture in that is disrupting society at a time of huge societal disruption. It seems like a minor point. But, you know, this is, I think everyone who's a sports fan has had the Phantom Limb experience of reaching for the remote and remembering, oh, there is no sports there. And, you know, it affects community. It affects economies, certainly. It's sports are a sense of civic pride. You know, the fabric of a community and the fabric of a society is to some extent knit together by sports. And if you don't believe me, consider every society has a national sport. Every society has certain kinds of sports. Every society has a tackling sport. Almost every society has a bat and ball sport. Societies that have never touched each other have these similar types of sports. So I think it's more ingrained into our DNA than we might realize.
I have to say that in the absence of sports, at least we have the weather forecast that comes on the TV that has nothing to do with coronavirus to distract us at least for a minute or two. Mike Pesca, Here Now sports analyst, host of the daily podcast, The Gist at Slate.com. Thank you.
You're welcome.